For those that don't know me, I'm still new here. My name is Mike. I'm new on staff. I'm getting to know you guys over time here, and it's been great meeting everyone. And Michelle and I, our kids are downstairs enjoying Sunday school. So we just wanted to say thank you for welcoming us. We truly feel welcomed here, and we're really enjoying our time here at Gateway. So we're looking forward to continuing to get to know more of you and continuing to grow here at Gateway. This morning, we want to look at Psalm 23. So it's probably a familiar passage to a lot of people. It's possibly one of the most popular and well-known psalms and passages in the Bible. But I was realizing over my years of pastoring, I've never actually preached on Psalm 23. And it's one of my personal favorite passages. So I wanted to take the time to look into Psalm 23 a little bit more. And I hope that it speaks to you this morning as we look at this psalm. I just want to read it. Some of you probably have it memorized. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we're looking at this psalm, we're going to go through each verse and just kind of unpack each verse as we look at it this morning. But basically, the psalm presents two metaphors about God and our relationship with him. The first one, pretty obvious, you've probably seen this one, that God is our shepherd. One of the most common metaphors in the Bible and a common metaphor that Jesus applied to himself. The second one, maybe not quite as obvious, but the second metaphor is God as a host at a banquet, and we'll look at that as we get into verses 5 and 6. So as we're going through the psalm, just keep in mind these two metaphors because they guide our understanding of the psalm and what it's speaking to us. The psalm teaches us about the all-sufficient power and provision of God. And our theme is that as we understand Psalm 23, as we understand the Bible, as we understand our trust, our relationship, our faith in Jesus, that we can know a life without lack, as the psalm teaches us. So the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And David right away speaks the theme of this psalm. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And it's because the Lord is his shepherd that he lacks nothing. And, you know, I'm not a shepherd. Probably none of us here are shepherds. But if you've ever read about shepherds, read about sheep, the shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep. And, you know, I'm not super familiar with sheep, but apparently sheep are not the brightest animals. So they need a shepherd looking after them because they don't always do the smartest things. And, you know, the Bible talks about us being sheep. So I don't know what that says about God's opinion of humankind, calling us sheep, not necessarily the brightest animals. But when the sheep follow the shepherd leads them to the places that they should go. He leads them to the places that they need to be. He takes care of them. He protects them. He provides them with what they need. Sheep are fairly simple. They don't need a lot. Some grass, some water, a safe place to sleep, protection from predators. And the shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep. In John 10, verses 11 to 18, the New Testament makes it clear that Jesus is the good shepherd for us. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And he talks about how he takes care of us as the sheep. And just like the shepherd takes care of his sheep, providing them what they need, Jesus does that for us. He provides us shelter. He provides food, clothing, places to live. He provides what we need, and he takes care of us. The Apostle Paul echoes this theme of God's provision in Philippians 4, 10 to 12, and it says this. And I want to read this because we have the Old Testament example, King David trusting in God's provision. We have a New Testament example, the Apostle Paul trusting in God's provision. Thousands of years apart, but the same message. The Apostle Paul says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, it's interesting because both David and Paul are saying they know this life without lack. They know a life where they don't lack anything. But you look at their lives, and it's pretty clear that they did lack things from time to time. Neither David's life nor Paul's life was easy. David spent years in the wilderness being chased by King Saul's armies, living in caves. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound comfortable. It doesn't sound fun. But that was part of David's story. The Apostle Paul, again, he spent years doing all kinds of crazy things that we can't even imagine. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake. He was thrown in jail. He was persecuted. He was yelled at. All of these unpleasant things, yet he can still say that he knows a life in God that was a life without lack. And that goes against, I think, our modern conceptions of life because, you know, what would you say the good life is? What TV presents, what we talk about, you know, kind of the Canadian dream, the American dream. And if you describe that, maybe it looks something like having a decent job with a good salary, enough to buy a nice house, not too much trouble, comfortable life, the basic things that you need, some hobbies, some friends, those kinds of things. That's probably something like how a lot of people would describe a comfortable life. We know that life doesn't always go like that, but that's kind of what culture tells us that we should strive for. That's what the good life looks like, getting more comfortable, more safe, more money. But neither David nor Paul experienced that their whole lives. They did at times. Certainly David had good years, and Paul had good years. He said he knew what it was to live in plenty, but he also knew what it was to live without. And his conception of God and God's provision didn't change whether he had a lot or a little. It didn't change. It's the same for David. Whether he was living in tough times or easy times, he trusted God to provide what was needed, and his conception of God didn't change. And as I was thinking about this passage, I was thinking, how do you understand this? How can we see this in our own lives? And I think, at least for me, and you know, in our modern culture where we have a lot of comforts and conveniences, it might look something like this. We would prefer not to get shipwrecked at all, right? Yet Paul was shipwrecked and survived. We would prefer not to get bitten by poisonous snakes, right? Paul was bitten by the snake, but survived because Jesus protected him. We would prefer not to be in need. Paul was in need, but came out with what he needed. We would prefer not to be persecuted or to be criticized for our faith. Paul was thrown in jail for his faith multiple times, and God rescued him and kept him going and kept leading him forward. I think, you know, for me, probably for most of us, we would rather avoid those difficult things. We don't want to be shipwrecked. That doesn't sound like fun. But sometimes we experience those things in life. We don't necessarily get to avoid them, but God is with us in those things, and we can come out of them on the other side still trusting in Jesus. We don't always get to avoid the circumstances, but Jesus leads us through the circumstances, just like we see in King David's life and in the Apostle Paul's life. And it's often in these difficult experiences that trust in Jesus is developed. A trust that moves from an understanding that God provides what I need, which means what I want. There's a level of faith in that, and that certainly is faith. But it moves beyond comfortable, or God provides what I think I need in the moment, to God can take care of me in any circumstance, whatever it looks like, even when it's not comfortable. And David gets even more specific with how this provision works in verse 2. He talks about, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. For a sheep, that's pretty much all you need. Green pastures, food, and quiet waters, a place to drink. Sheep don't like drinking out of rough waters, apparently. They don't do very well. So they need a quiet place where they can drink and, you know, not fall in or whatever they do. I don't know exactly what sheep do, but I know they like quiet waters. It works better for them. God provides what we need in the way that we need it, even if it's not always the way we understand it. And I love being outdoors. I love nature. And I just kind of picture this scene, you know, this, you call it a pastoral scene, right? A classic metaphor and these green pastures and a quiet stream flowing through. It sounds good to me. Sounds like a place I'd like to sit and have a picnic, have a relaxing afternoon. And that's the image, the picture of what God is providing. Peace, fulfillment of our needs, necessities, a place that we rest in safety, in his presence. And that's this metaphor that David is putting on paper here for us. We sang earlier in the song that Brandon and Kim led, he refreshes my soul. Talks about what that looks like. And as we ponder this psalm, let's consider what might a refreshed soul look like. And you can reverse it and say, you know, if you don't feel like this, maybe your soul is not feeling refreshed. But this is what God provides. This is what he does when he refreshes our soul. A refreshed soul is content because God provides all that we need. As we see in this psalm, our identity is secure. Whether we have a lot or a little, we have what we need. We're content. A refreshed soul is not afraid. The sheep in the pen with the shepherd near them, they're not afraid. They know that the shepherd is going to protect them. No matter the circumstances, we are safe in Jesus. And a refreshed soul understands that. Jesus provides that understanding to us. A refreshed soul is optimistic, as we see David writing in this psalm. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. There are good days ahead, and the psalmist looks forward to them, knowing, following Jesus, there's good days ahead. I know there are good things in my life. He's optimistic about what Jesus is providing. And a refreshed soul is in continual communion with Jesus. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is with Jesus. He is in relationship with him. And he's optimistic about what is coming forward in his life. So how do we find this refreshing of the soul? Trusting in Jesus is the simple way to put it. We know that trust doesn't always come easy. It takes time. It takes relationship. It takes experiences. It takes circumstances. But we grow in trust and faith. When we live in Jesus, we are drawing on his unlimited resources. In John 15, it talks about abiding in the vine, that we are branches in the vine. And as we are in the vine, Jesus' lifeblood flows through us, and we draw on his resources. The Holy Spirit works in us. We're not on our own. Jesus has promised that he will take care of us. If you look this up in the Bible, You know, Jesus doesn't just say this once. The Bible doesn't just say this once. It says many times in many different areas. Just a couple examples in Matthew 6, where Jesus says, do not be anxious about anything. 1 Peter 5:7, we read the passage this morning in Philippians. There's so many examples in the Bible of where Jesus says that he will take care of us, that we don't need to be afraid because Jesus is providing for us. We've got a quote up here. Dallas Willard says, the transformation of the self away from a life of fear and insufficiency takes place as we fix our minds on God as he truly is. God wants to take care of us. He wants to bless us. He wants to look after us. And it's often not that we don't understand ourselves and we don't understand God. And as we begin to understand God more, we understand his nature and we understand what he actually wants to do. We begin to trust him more. And as we see God more clearly for who he is, we begin to understand more of his provision and how that works in our lives. And it's often our own fears and our own things, fears of not having enough, that hold us back. Not that God doesn't want to take care of us, because he does. And just as the shepherd guides the sheep on the paths that are best, leading them where they need to go, Jesus does the same thing. God leads us on the paths that are best. Now, it's interesting to notice that it doesn't say that we'll go on the paths that are best for us, for our own pleasure, for our own fulfillment, but it says that the glory will be for his name's sake. So sometimes Jesus leads us on the right path for his name's sake, not necessarily for our own pleasure or happiness or fulfillment. It's still the right path, but it's not necessarily always about us and what we want. Our lives are meant to serve Jesus and to offer him glory. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Some translations, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's some different ways of translating it. But the idea is that we know that in life we don't always walk in pleasant places. You may be in a pleasant place right now. You may be in that green valley with the quiet stream flowing by. But you might also be in a dark place. You might be walking through a dark valley. You might be walking through a difficult time. Sometimes we have to go through these dark places. Sometimes we go through difficult times. But despite the real difficulties and the real situations that we walk through, Jesus doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us in the tough times. He doesn't leave us in the good times. Whatever dark places that we walk through, we know that Jesus is still walking alongside of us. We know that he is with us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. Whatever the difficulty is, even facing our mortality, facing sickness, facing death, we can still trust that we're in God's hands. Because in Jesus, death has lost its power, and we live eternally with him. And again, Dallas Willard, he says this, if you're afraid of going out of existence, fear no more. Why? Because God, in creation, has imparted an aspect of himself into you. Being made in God's image means, among other things, that you are also an eternal being. We live for eternity. We live in these bodies for now, for a time, but we exist eternally in God. And once these bodies are gone, we go to be with him. And we trust that that promise doesn't fail. David finds his confidence and comfort in God because he knows that God is not a distant presence. God is real. God is present. God is with him. He's not some being out there somewhere that may or may not care about him. He knows God personally. He has a relationship with him, and he's developed a trust in him. Now, looking at verse 5, we switch metaphors from the shepherd and the sheep to God hosting a banquet, and we get to see God's generosity. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." So especially in the time that David was writing in the ancient Near East, eating a meal with someone implied a level of trust and intimacy. You didn't just sit down and eat with anyone. When you set the table and invited someone in, you were inviting them into your personal space. You were inviting them into a relationship of trust. So God here is inviting David, the psalmist, into this intimate meal, into this place of trust. And God, the host, generously treats the psalmist as his guest. He prepares food for him, anoints his head with refreshing oil to wipe away the dust and grime, and fills his cup to overflowing. And in my own mind, I kind of have this picture of this battlefield raging, life going on, chaos, craziness happening around us. And God invites you in. He says, "Come, sit." And there's a quiet space. Everything just calms around you for a moment. And there's an awesome meal laid out. And you get to sit in God's presence and eat this meal with him. We even see that after Jesus was resurrected, he cooked the disciples breakfast on the shore. He had some fish and made a fire and cooked it up. He actually cooked breakfast for the disciples. Can you imagine Jesus making you a meal and just sitting there hanging out with Jesus while he cooks you a nice breakfast on the beach? But God actually invites us in to this meal. God provides what we need. He fills the cup. And notice it doesn't just say that he puts, you know, a little bit of something in the cup. He fills it to overflowing. He doesn't even just fill it, you know, three quarters full. Be careful, don't spill. He fills it to overflowing. There's abundance. There's more than is needed. Because you know what? God is not stingy. He is not scared of running out of something. Because he can't. He can't run out of something. God doesn't lack anything. And when we begin to see this, we can trust in his provision. God can't run out of stuff. It's not possible. So if he can't run out of stuff, he can't run out of provision. We draw on his resources. God doesn't lack anything. And beyond that, God is generous. He doesn't hold back on us because he doesn't have limited resources. It's not like, well, you know, you can only have half of that because I got to have some for this guy over here. And, you know, we got all these people that need stuff and I'm going to run out. God's not going to run out of anything. You'll have more than enough. I've got another Dallas Willard quote. He's got some good quotes. You'll have more than enough. God does not have a shortage of anything you can think of. His riches and glory are endless. We see it when Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes. How much did they have left over? 12 baskets. God is not stingy. He dwells in magnificent abundance and lovingly provides for our needs out of that abundance. And God is not worried that he's going to run out of something, because he's not. And this cup, it further symbolizes blessing and salvation. It's not just provision. Water to drink, juice to drink, whatever it is. It signifies blessing and salvation as it refers to the cup of communion that we see in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 10:16. Finally, verse 6, the psalmist David says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And David ends the psalm in the certainty of faith. He is assured of God's presence and provision with him all of the days of his life. He's confident. He trusts in the goodness and love of God. David desires to dwell in the house of the Lord, and the house of the Lord, of course, is the temple. Now, we know that people didn't actually live in the temple, but David wants to live in the temple because it is the symbol of God's presence on earth. It is symbolic of being with God in every moment, in every day. And David wants to dwell where God's presence is because he wants to be with God every moment of every day. So symbolically, David the psalmist proclaims that he will live in the light of God's presence. We talked about this earlier as well. The word that Buck gave, we get to be an oasis, a light for people because we are living in God's presence. And people can see that. Even if they don't notice it, people sense God's presence in us. My wife worked in elementary schools as an EA, and she would often talk about the conversations she would have. People would just come up to her and ask her questions, and sometimes it would turn to conversations about faith, and these conversations would just seemingly come out of nowhere. And I truly believe that that is because God's presence was shining through her. And without even knowing it, subconsciously, people can see Jesus and are attracted to that light and want to know more. There's something different when Jesus lives in us, when the Holy Spirit is flowing through us. We know, I hope you can see this morning, that the shepherd of Psalm 23 is Jesus. He has a personal relationship with you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He offers us a life without lack. Not always the Canadian dream, but a life without lack. A life where we have provided for us what we need. A life where he blesses us generously, no matter what that looks like. I just want to take a moment. We're going to close off in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that you are a generous God, that you care for your people, that you look after us. Lord, help us to understand, even when we struggle, it's not always easy. It's not always easy to trust you in difficult times. In easy times, sometimes we forget. Hard times, sometimes we doubt. Lord, but would we continue to grow in you? Would our faith in you, would our trust in you be deepened so that, like David and like Paul, we can say, I've learned how to be content in any and every circumstance, whether I'm in need or whether I have plenty, that our trust in you, your care for us, doesn't change based on circumstances. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for taking care of us. We pray this in your name. Amen.